Welcome to Animation Damnation, loyal Patreon subscriber, and welcome to a spooktacular edition of the show.
Ooh, I'm a ghost.
Are you also Italian?
Yeah, I'm an Italian ghost.
Italian people can die.
Sure, what the hell?
Italian people can die, Steve. Great observation. This month, we are talking about The Simpsons, the episode in question, Treehouse of Horror 5, original air date, October the 30th. 1994.
All-timer, man.
This is an all-timer.
It is. It might be the one. It's close. There's a lot of... This has... I think the Shining segment is my favorite segment, period.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Which is why we're doing this. But I think that this...
We're doing it because it's your favorite segment?
Yes, because I decided.
Nice.
No, I'm trying to think of...
I decide!
Other all-time segments that we love here in the treehouse.
Of the treehouse? I really love Omega Man.
Omega Man.
That's the one where everyone's a zombie but Homer.
Right, yeah. That's a great one where it's where he shoots shoots regular Flanders. But
yes,
it's zombie.
Yeah.
When Willie becomes like Freddy Krueger.
That one's pretty good. I was conflating Treehouse of Horrors, and I thought that one was also on this one.
I really like the one when he goes into the portal and he's four-dimensional.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's not too bad. Yeah, because
I like that one a lot.
I remember thinking that was so fucking weird when I watched
one.
I was like, what is happening?
Oh, man, that's weird.
Ooh, yeah, erotic cakes.
Erotic cakes, totally.
No, I finally saw the Twilight Zone episode on which that is based on. Mm-hmm. And it freaked me out a little bit because I was like, oh, wow, it's a Twilight Zone. It makes sense. I'm like,
wait, he becomes 2D then?
No, it's not that. They go into a weird...
dude who's a little paper cutout.
Imagine a cartoon, if you will. Imagine becoming a cartoon.
Oh, Mr. Burns' Dracula is also great.
Oh, Mr. Burns'
Dracula. That's a classic one. Yeah. Wait, so what Twilight Zone episode are you talking about?
It's a weird one where like a guy's daughter goes inside the wall.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
They have to find it and he has to go inside. And it's not 2D. It's just like kind of... close to trippy kind of.
Oh, cool.
Yes, I have effects. Seen it. Yeah.
Well,
but
say,
I wanted to say that, like, for people who may not know, you know, we have patrons on the $3 level. We are doing an episode, or we already have done an episode on The Shining at the $5 level, full We Love Movies episode.
Yeah.
And this is kind of just residual runoff. We talk about the Simpsons episode we're talking about today, a little bit on that episode, and that's why we're doing like a We Love Movies Animation Damnation, which won't always be the case for these going forward.
No, totally.
But
not.
It's just one of these rare events, and I want to explain for the people saying, wait, what? At their podcast apps.
Because I think the last time we talked about The Simpsons on AD was when we did that Simpsons Guy crossover dreaded episode.
With Family Guy, yeah. I believe that is now located in the Patreon archives.
Yeah, that's right. Those like old animation. Yeah, it's kind of... We've all actually now at this point done the Talking Simpsons show with Bob Mackie and Henry Gilbert, friends of the show. But we've never actually really gushed out on Simpsons on our own feed.
I know, and I think this is the time.
We reference the Simpsons literally all the time. So.
Yeah, well, because we're of that age where it's like built into our vocabulary,
yeah,
like
sure.
For several other people. This Treehouse of Horror specifically, it's a weird, like... I was watching this on Hulu. I do have the DVDs up till season 10, but I just popped on Hulu after I watched Final Destination 3 for the show. This is called Treehouse of Horror 5 in the thing, in like the episode listing. But when the thing comes up, they're still calling it The Simpsons Halloween Special 5. I think this was the last time they did that. This is also the last time they do... an introduction.
Yes.
And I always loved these. I loved Marge coming out behind from the red curtain as if you're watching The Simpsons from a theater. It's just such a fucking weird joke.
The government says this one's just way too scary. So instead, we're going to play the Glenn Ford classic, 200 Miles to Oregon.
Which doesn't exist.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's a great joke. I guess I was reading on the Tribune that like Congress had been coming after The Simpsons around this point, saying that it was like too violent. And they wanted to cut it back. And what's funny is this, I think, is the most violent Treehouse of Horror.
By a mile. I mean, also, the one thing I will say I don't like, so, like, she does that, and then it cuts to Bart takes over the television. And I've never been a fan of cool Bart Simpson.
No, because like, Bart's like, not cool.
It's just like, he's like, I've taken over your TV set, man.
Well, I think
and
that's
like,
almost part of it. It's like,
yeah.
Bart thinks he's cool, but he's not cool.
So I hope so.
You're seeing him... Well, yeah, he's just ignorant.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's trying to be cool, and then like Homer breaks his
he
coolness.
Fucks it up. Is this an Outer Limits joke?
I think so, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that show, really, but I think that's how the show kind of started.
Do not adjust your TV set.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I watched a shitload of those remakes in, like, the 90s.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think it was on Showtime, actually.
Yeah, I think so,
too. Oh, were you getting, like, fucking boobs and dicks and shit?
I don't think you're getting dicks.
Do not adjust your set. There are plenty of boobs and dicks.
Yeah, Short Bus was actually an Outer Limits episode.
It had to be, dude. How else can a human being bend that way except in the Outer Limits? That's one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in my life.
Still have never seen Short Bus, honestly.
I've only seen that part. Pretty good. I'll tell you what, if I could do that, I'd never leave the house. Ever.
Pretty good movie, as it turns out.
Ever.
It's aspirational.
Right. Yeah, okay, basically. Chris, why don't you just remove a rib now so you can blow yourself?
It's for my birthday.
That's how McRibs are made, actually. They're the ribs of the gentleman that removed their ribs to suck their own cock.
So right, yeah.
They get sold to the McDonald's Corporation.
Yeah.
By the way,
it's people! It's people!
If Patreon starts doing good, we're going to be sucking each other, well, sucking ourselves off a lot.
Would never leave the house.
I ate a Marilyn Manson McRib in the 90s.
Well, that's an urban myth McRib.
Yeah, I know. That's... Let me have my fun, Steve.
What did that cost you, $5,000? I mean, that's a celebrity rib right there.
This is also the last Treehouse of Horror where they do the walk through the graveyard.
Yes.
And this is great, though, because you get Mo being hung, which is hilarious. Patty and Selma being burned at the stake, classic. And Skinner getting the fucking guillotine, also great. I love that Skinner, like, there's a bunch of heads in the basket, and Bart stamps it down, and then Skinner gives him a thumbs up. Awesome.
And the couch bit is, like, we're, like, early enough in these Halloween parodies that it's just Frankenstein stuff, which is kind of cool to go with classic.
Yeah.
It is. It's nice. I mean, like, I haven't watched a lot of the... I haven't watched any of the Treehouse of Horrors in the last, like, 15 years.
Yeah, same.
And I've seen some stuff that has really freaked me out. Like,
I can tell you the exact last time I watched one. We were in college. You and I, Steve, sat down. And what they started doing... I don't know when they started doing this, but Treehouse of Horror became the season premiere.
Yes, which doesn't make any sense.
Very dumb.
Do that in September.
Yeah, but they did a thing... where it was like a Harry Potter parody.
Yes.
And oh, I just remember being like, no, I cannot sanction this buffoonery.
That's like not Halloween. Like, that's just something people dress up as for Halloween. It's not a Halloween thing. It's not like a scary thing.
Oh, man. Mr. Burns is totally the Voldemort of Springfield.
I'm writing The Simpsons now.
Wow. Here's your check for $1 million. Oh, yeah. But here's your check for $1 million, and you get into the Harvard Alumni Association, also known as the WGA.
Oh.
I've got an axe to grind.
The weirdest part about like these latter, the Treehouse of Horrors it wasn't enough to do it once a year because they were like, we need stuff that breaks the reality like two or three times a year because that's an easier story to tell. They did like
the Simpsons, Easter shit.
The Easter shit was
fuck
one.
Fuck that. Simpsons I don't need Bible stories. I don't need that.
There's like fantasy. There's like a fantasy. What is it? The
there was like a Game of Thrones
Warcraft
thing?
One. There was a Game of Thrones.
There's episode. A Warcraft one.
I'm almost positive.
Jesus, is dumb as donkey dick.
Is there a Max Payne one? That would be interesting.
No, there's a Max Power one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the Short Buzz. Episode. Oh no, I clicked on one of those banner ads when I was torrenting something. I apologize. That was a short
dang, you want to see Homer get a rib taken out?
No, I do not.
Ooh. Too late. Now your computer's got a virus.
Oh, the Simpsons did body heat.
Like, you know what? Like, do like spoofs of like 80s thrillers and shit. Yeah. That'd be better than fucking Bible stories.
You know what show gets that idea that The Simpsons is trying to do exactly right is Archer.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
All of the different Archer shit I think is hysterical. The fucking Archer in space, the Archer Vice.
I haven't watched like the last two seasons or so.
I haven't watched them. I just think they're really good ideas that I want to get around to at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a better concept. Just go for it. And I just fucking doing Bible stories. My God, man.
I was thinking, what if they did Simpsons Thief, Michael Mann's Thief, and Homer... was the James Belushi character who gets shot in the stomach with a shotgun.
Yes.
See, that's the thing is like this cartoon used to play to a smarter audience.
I think so.
I mean,
for
it
sure,
used
yeah.
to be funny and whatever, but there would be jokes in there for someone who had seen something like Thief.
Well, or to get to it, The Shining, which exactly. I mean, like in the early 90s, I mean, like it wasn't an obscure movie. Like it had come around at that point. It wasn't like as critically panned, but like it wasn't it was a little bit of a deeper cut, right?
It's not a thing you're going to put on a fucking cartoon.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, but it had come back. We were well settled into that this is a classic now.
Yes.
We were still a few years off from that television film, though, with Peter Weber. Peter Weber, is that his name?
Steven Weber.
A two-night CBS event.
So it's The Simpsons. They are going to...
The Shining, by the way. Segment one, The Shining.
Which they're going up. It's we're parodying the this is like one of the best parodies ever. I think Mel Brooks, Eat Your Heart Out. Like they do the whole movie in like 3 minutes,
and it doesn't feel like you're missing too much. I was reading like on some there were a couple of deleted scenes that sound interesting, but like overall, this is really solid.
Barney was the dog man.
Oh man.
No, nice. They're
a burp noise. Oh god damn, that's gross.
He's blowing Duffman.
Oh yeah.
No,
we're at a costume party. No. Oh yeah.
It's Lenny. Hiya, Homer. Oh
yeah. Please don't tell people how I live.
Probably the best Lenny line. No, there was a thing where Sherry and Terry were the twins in the hallway, and then Bart was like skateboarding down the hall and something happened. But it starts with the driving to the hotel.
Oh, it's so good.
It's Tuesday. Yeah. And then like, they're like,
when you locked the front door, did you remember to lock the back door?
Thursday.
And then it's just like, oh my God, we forgot Grandpa at the gas station.
Keep
anybody?
Going. It's great. Great detail right here. I was looking at it. They're all like pretty much dressed the same, but Homer is dressed like Jack Nicholson. He's got the sweater on.
Yeah.
And there's like the button-down shirt collar like coming out of it. I love those details in the show when they remembered to do things like that.
They get there. It's obviously Mr. Burns own it and Smithers and like the other caretakers. And they take all the beer and cut the cable.
Yeah.
Just to make
get an honest winter's work out of these oafs, or whatever.
Which is great. I mean, because it's funny because the whole Shining is about alcoholism. It's about like all that stuff, and it you are using that, but the other way, kind of like
exactly.
It's dude that wants to drink beer but can't,
and that's what drives him to madness. Yeah. I mean, it's so fantastic. The greatest line of you know, tell you what, we come back here and they're all slaughtered. I owe you a Coke. Fucking great.
He's also when Mr. Burns is introducing them to the property, he goes into the sort of the stuff from The Shining, like oh, it was site of an Indian burial ground.
Right.
There used to be witch burnings here and satanic rituals and 5 John Denver Christmas specials.
John Denver.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's such the writing here.
And the I do love that Willie is the Scatman Crothers role. Bart does cut through his hedge maze. I do really love when it happens a couple times. Whenever somebody calls Bart fat, I'm laughing. I am like the little fat boy. Later on, he's like, the little fat boy and his family are in trouble. Just makes me laugh. But it's we talk about The Shining, which is very good.
Don't think about, the dad went mad and turned him into haggis. And he's like, what's haggis?
The weirdest thing, because I'm reading.
But don't be reading my mind by between 4 and 5. That's Willie's time.
I love the idea that he sets aside a specific hour to jerk off. Imagine having your life that scheduled. Very jealous.
Some of us have to live that way. No, the weirdest part is about The Shining and about Dr. Sleep, which was kind of what spurred all this.
Yeah.
Is like, Stephen King wrote that book because, you know, he hated The Shining, da 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 da. But in watching the trailer, it totally negates it because the Overlook still exists. They go back to the Overlook in the movie.
Right.
Yes. So it's like totally not, it's a sequel to the movie.
Yeah.
Which really kind of like, it's fucking, you've got to be kidding me.
I just saw that latest trailer.
Yeah,
and
when they show
like,
the whole movie.
Yeah, when they show the whole movie, it is like so much like, Stanley Kubrick's The Shining is amazing, right, everyone? Right? Hey, that movie was great. Why don't you see it? Not It 2, but The Shining 2.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
So it really is, it's really tied to the Kubrick film.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how you don't that, do that.
I agree. You know I totally mean? Agree.
I'm and hoping for a surprise cameo of Jack Nicholson with a bowl of chili.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's me. I'm a ghost. I'm a huge fat ghost.
Fat ghost.
Yeah, I started vaping in the afterlife.
Well, yeah. Well, you, oh, because he's
vaping. I don't stand up no more.
I'm vaping myself.
Turns out all you can get up here is raspberry jewel pods.
Are those bad ones?
Yeah, I
guess.
Yeah.
Well, so they're illegal now.
I know. Yeah, well,
what you were doing is illegal.
I banned it all. Sorry, it's all banned. Enjoy your AR-15s. Don't be sucking raspberry juice.
And I talked to my Nazi father in the afterlife, and he said we're gonna ban them there too. And then we're gonna get back to cigarettes, folks. Big fat cigarettes.
I had such a bad dream. It was a Muslim person vaping.
Homer realizes.
Call Dr. Sleep.
Homer realizes the beer in the TV isn't there. He goes crazy immediately, which is a very funny
detail. But we also get the blood gets off on the second floor, which I think is
That's
usually
a good gag.
Yeah.
So Homer, he freaks out, and he leaves, and he's like, I'm gonna go check like the tool shed for the sharp objects or whatever.
Oh no, he goes, I'm gonna go check out that axe collection.
And Lisa's like, Mom, is he gonna kill us? And my favorite line of this whole thing is
mine too.
She just goes, huh? We're just going to have to wait and see.
It's so awesome because it's just such a Marge thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I really, truly love that joke.
And in The Shining, it's almost like that. Like, yes. You should have left earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, totally.
You know who
the
this
snow.
Dude is. Yeah.
So he goes into the ballroom, and it's, of course, Mo is the bartender. And he's like, you know, oh, okay, Mo, give me a beer. No, not unless you kill your family.
Well, that's the funny thing is like the speed of it actually makes it much funnier. Like,
yes,
you know what I mean? Like, you get to everything.
Because, like, the bartender doesn't have to dance around
exactly.
You know?
Yeah,
we're not talking about the previous caretaker. It's like, it's so transactional. Yeah. Like, I will give you this beer once you kill your family.
Not until you waste your family.
waste. That's the one.
Yes.
Oh, does he say waste?
He
waste. Oh, that's fucking great.
It's just like we're instantly at the typewriter sequence. It's like, what he's typed will be a window into his madness.
Yeah.
Feeling fine.
I thought feeling fine would make for a good tattoo, actually.
Yeah, actually, feeling fine is pretty good.
Feeling fine.
In the courier typewriter font.
Yeah. So then, like, the lightning strikes, and it's no TV, no beer, make Homer go crazy all over the wall, you know, which is one of the more famous parts of this.
Well, I mean, I didn't see The Shining until I was, like, you know, maybe 19 or 20.
Oh, right, you were a scared.
I was scared of it, but like I'd seen this so much, so that informed when I watched The Shining.
That's,
you know what I mean? Like it went the other way, kind of.
I think I saw them out of order also, but it wasn't like
that,
you know,
far off.
I saw The Shining when I was a kid.
Certain like pop culture things that you feels like you're born knowing. Like they were such big things that it just permeates all culture.
Like you Groucho know, Marx. Like I don't know how it's like osmosis.
Right. You know, that's fascinating though, because so we're recording this in late September. Last weekend, Chelsea and I went to Lincoln Center. They were doing the New York Philharmonic a live score to Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
So I was astounded. So it was really weird. So after the shower scene, I think it was like to give the orchestra a break. They actually had an intermission.
Oh, interesting.
Psycho's kind of a perfect movie to build an intermission to, because right after the shower scene, you can stop it for 10 minutes.
And I feel like other people are like, hey, do you want to get out of here? We saw the shower scene.
Right.
Like, we're going to beat the traffic.
No, it's because everyone had to go beat off.
Oh, the bathroom is line is insane.
But it was weird. So I was going to the bathroom, and as I was walking behind these two girls, and the way that they were speaking, they were trying to, like, you know, guess what was going to happen in the movie. And they were talking as if Norman was actually cleaning up after Mrs. Bates.
Oh,
like they had
what?
No
how
fucking
did,
clue.
How is there no, like, I feel like I always knew that.
Yeah. It was insane. And then what was nuttier was when the reveal happens, we're at Lincoln Center in David Geffen Hall, this massive auditorium. People were going crazy, but not in like the celebratory.
Yeah,
oh, of course. It was like so many of them were like, oh, this is a first time thing. I was stunned at the reaction.
Were we LOLing inappropriately? Like we, like I've been to like so many retrospectives where people are like, oh, LOL the past. That phone is weird, LOL.
Not that kind of stuff. We got a little bit of an LOL, like with him in the wig and whatnot. But it wasn't that bad. I know what you're talking about. I've lived through that. This respectfully wasn't that.
So do you think Psycho's gotten so old at this point that the permeation has kind of slipped away? Like a person who's 18 right now probably didn't grow up with that culture in the 80s and 90s constantly referencing.
I think you're totally right. Yeah. Like there's less, you know, references to the screaming violins and all that stuff now.
You know what's funny? It's like We Hate Movies is such an important podcast.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Here, like osmosis, like every other podcast is kind of just a blatant knockoff of lesser version.
The Dairies.
But you get the beats. So you think you know what it is and you think you're amused by listening to other shows, but you're not.
Do you remember when we did that whole season about the Anansi Edka case and then Sarah Koenig comes along a couple of years later and is like, here's Camp. Cereal.
Okay. Whatever. Jeez,
Michael Barbaro really owes us.
Yeah, fucking Raisin Bran podcast.
So whatever they, you know, it's The Shining. We're running around. This is the extended. Homer falls down. This
give me the back. Give me the back. Give me the back.
And my favorite. One of my. There's two great Mo lines. One is in the second. One's later. Is when he's like, "Me and the ghouls are feeling you're living up to your end of the bargain." And he's like, "Can't talk, eating."
Yeah. There's also. The great line when Marge puts him in the pantry. It's like, you stay in here until you're not, you know, psychotic or whatever the line is. And she goes, "Ooh, chili would be good tonight."
Later, they're eating chili, which I do love. Yeah.
When the ghouls break him out, I love that it's like Dracula, Jason Voorhees, Pinhead,
Mummy, Wolfman, Freddy Krueger. Right. He's got quite the team there. They were ghouls.
They're all at the Overlook. You know, they're all at that ballroom party.
What I do really like, and I was noticing it this time. It's the first time I've ever watched this episode with headphones on, which was weird. Castellaneta is really kind of dipping into a Nicholson impression here and there. And it was so interesting. Like, he's a guy doing a voice that's doing an impression. People who are doing voices who then make the voices do impressions, I think, are fascinating.
Yeah.
It's a very hard thing to do. Yeah. And he slips into it throughout this segment. I think it's really cool.
This is when he starts doing the Johnny. He does the, here's Johnny. It's the wrong room.
David Letterman.
Hi, David. I'm Grandpa.
I love that Grandpa like walked from the gas station and then was just randomly in one of the rooms.
He's got his coat on and everything.
He's got Tom Landry's hat on too.
And you know, he gets to them. They start running around. Bart calls Willie. We do a great joke on the Scatman Carruthers apartment. Like a Scottish lass above him.
Yep. Oh, it's awesome.
He's not in Florida. He's actually in a shed. So he just runs over and he's like, "I'm a the fat kid and his family are in trouble. I'm a come." And he gets cut in the back with the axe, which is great.
There's a great Marge kills it in this episode because then she's got the line like, "Oh, I hope that rug is scotch guarded." Great fucking dual meaning joke there.
Another great Marge moment is when she radios the police. "My husband is on a murderous rampage over." And then Wiggum's like, "Well, I'm glad that's over." Oh, right.
And the turn at the end is Willie had a portable TV. They're running in the hedge maze. He's about to kill them. Like, again, like it is kind of weird to put like there are these like Treehouse of Horrors, but like it's very rarely that Homer is trying to kill his family.
No, because most of them are like fucking Twilight Zone parodies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, or like, there's a monster, or maybe it's like Ned Flanders or whatever.
Yeah, but it's like it's Homer trying to murder his own family.
Yes.
Yeah, the first and the third of this one are like some of the most brutal
and like, disturbing kind of.
Yeah. So this is Lisa shows him the TV and he grabs, he goes, "Oh, TV, teacher, mother, secret lover."
They freeze to death watching it. Which
they
is
do. There's a nice editing cut here, just like in the Kubrick film, the Homer Frozen.
So I guess what is Homer jerking off to Molly Hemingway or like what?
What?
Molly Hemingway?
On like the secret lover.
I mean, everyone's jerking off the TV. I mean, that's
that's definitely true.
Really?
Yeah.
For sure, man.
Yeah.
Dude, how many times do I have to bring up that Fiona Apple video?
That's why they call it. That's why they call it the boob tube.
Why else would I watch Arrow?
Is that a good one?
No, I don't watch it.
Archery aficionado? I don't know.
And then the great gag of, you know, up next, now it's the Tony Awards. Yeah. I forget who they say hosted it. Yeah. It's
is it Bernadette Peters?
No, no. I'm not going to remember. But it's the great, like, they start singing.
The chorus line.
Yeah, chorus line's one.
Yeah.
And it's Urge to Kill, yeah. Rising, fucking great.
The next is Time and Punishment.
Yes.
Which is...
Dad, your hand is stuck in the toaster! And
it's such a flimsy gag, but it's very, very funny.
It is hysterical every time, and I've seen it like 100 times.
Yeah. No, it will never not be funny, absolutely.
He fixes the toaster. It's a time machine.
Fixes the toaster with a rock.
Oh, yes, he breaks it with a rock. It somehow makes a time machine.
I love like the look of what he turns it into. There's like Christmas lights and all like light bulbs sticking out of it.
By the way, of all the appliances in the world, the toaster is the cheapest of the appliances.
Yeah.
So like you could just get another toaster.
You could get another. Well, you know, the Simpsons were always on a budget.
They were.
But they're having lobsters for dinner and they live in a palace.
That was the Frank Grimes episode. Again, growing up in a very small apartment, I was like, somebody's fucking saying it. Like, you know, the Roseanne house too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, they're so fucking poor. They got fucking four cars and a garage that is bigger than where I'm living.
Well, because they lived in the middle of nowhere, man. Yeah, they lived in middle America.
I never envied the Roseanne house. My parents had a big house, but it was full of shit.
A lot of little newspapers.
Yeah, it was fucking nuts.
Raccoons just everywhere.
Yeah, dude, it was the fucking open the windows, let the wild go to it.
So when he goes back in time, the first time you see him falling through the thing.
Oh yes.
And there, I was reading up. I think on the Tribune trivia, it also says that Matt Groening didn't even understand what this joke meant, but Homer just says, "I'm the first non-Brazilian person to travel back through time." Yeah. Obviously, he's Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Quiet you, the way he says it, that's something that I feel like I've quoted in my brain like a trillion times.
Yeah. Absolutely. It just sits in your head, and every once in a while, I don't go around saying it, but it's just in my head. I'm like, quiet you.
Yeah.
And now this is like, now, see, that's another thing. It's like, I have an idea of what these characters are, but they're from another animated show.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah. Oh, are they from Rocky and
Bullwinkle? Like a different segment, and I like tried to watch Rocky and Bullwinkle as a kid. I'm like, this fucking sucks,
it's
man.
Fucking ass.
It was tough.
That was like the generational divide. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's people like the comedians that I liked at the time, like Dave Coulier.
Well, yeah, loved it.
You like loved that. Like, oh, this is really great. So I'm like, I gotta watch it. It's gonna be cool. I'm smarter than it. And I'm like, no, this sucks.
Yeah, this was one of the first like big fucking animated shows. I mean, like, it's like seeing the face of God if you're of a certain generation.
Yeah, no, I totally understand why people would like it. I spent a lot of my childhood trying to watch that show.
Yes.
That, Dudley Do-Right, all that. And I just don't give a fuck.
What was it? Hong Kong Phooey?
Hong Kong Phooey was another one. Yeah,
kind of like Danger Mouse.
I never watched it.
I watched a ton of Danger Mouse.
I thought Danger Mouse was pretty good.
We were a Danger Mouse household.
What about Mighty Mouse?
I watched some Mighty Mouse, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Danger Mouse was great.
This guy was doing it.
That's also what spurred my love of Count Dracula, because it was like a spinoff.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he goes back in time. It's the there's dinosaurs. Like, this is finally, it's the world where dinosaurs aren't confined to zoos.
Yeah.
A great Jurassic Park.
Let me remember what my father said on my wedding day. If you ever travel backwards through time, don't touch anything.
There's like, I don't know what the setup is. I think he just says something like, where am I, or something like that? And that huge sloth creature walks by and does the. It's so fucking.
Oh no!
Great.
It's when he. I think he steps on them. He smashes the mosquito. He's like, that can't change the future, can it?
Oh
can
yeah.
Can it?
Yeah.
And then. It's,
Yeah, so just, awesome. Just an animal interacting with him.
My style icon, that sloth monster.
But even just like Homer being so dumb and being like, stupid bug, you go smush now. And it comes near him.
Yeah, he gets his IQ drops like 40. He just invented a time machine.
Yeah. So he goes back to the present, and this is the 1984-esque Flanders is the ruler of the world.
There's some great music stuff going on. When it goes to Jurassic, when it goes to the past, it's very Jurassic Park scorey.
Yeah.
And then when he comes to the 1984 house and like they do the tile thing turns into a television,
yeah.
You get a lot of Cameron T2 kind of scores.
The fucking sound design throughout this entire episode is really great. It was weird. So I was watching this, like I said, with headphones on, and there was when he goes to the prehistoric time, there was this noise in one of the parts, and I was like, well, maybe it's like an old Hulu transfer. Yeah. So it just like is shitty. And it was like this kind of like kind of noise. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And they cut back to a wider shot, and in the background was like a smoking volcano.
Oh, that's cool.
And they had actually put the sound effect in. Yeah. I had never heard that. I've seen this episode 1,000 times. And like the little volcano is just like churning some smoke. It was kind of interesting.
That's pretty dope.
So, yeah, so Flanders, you know, we have to get the re-education.
Well, there's a negative Nelly in Sector 2 report for re-education.
And it's just the economy to get this. It's like, oh, Flanders is just the totally accepted ruler and master of the world. And everyone's like, yeah, I know. And, like, they go, and this is when it gets really disturbing again. Like, the hooks for the
big smiles. Yeah,
it's not so bad, Homer.
Dude, yeah, all
that
this
is
stuff.
My favorite fucking Hank Azaria thing ever.
They just go in through your nose and a little piece of brain comes out.
They let you keep it. Hello there.
Oh, hello. Oh. Who's that scary man there?
One thing about that, though, that bummed me out, why isn't Mo dressed like Flanders?
Yeah.
Every other dude is dressed like Flanders, and every other lady is dressed like Maud.
I guess if you're lobotomized, they don't have to dress you, maybe, is the theory there.
So, the rest of the family was also lobotomized.
They all get it. There's a creepy, I've always been creeped out. Yes, the Marge line of It's Bliss always creeped me right out.
It's pretty funny. He runs away. There's attack dogs, and he pulls out a big thing of hot dogs.
These wieners will
give me the energy to help me escape instead of tossing them to the dogs.
It's such a good fake.
And what's funny is that it works. He eats them and outruns two dogs. It's great.
He goes back to the home. He goes back to the past. At this point, I think he sneezes on. Oh, no.
No, this is I wish I hadn't killed that fish.
Yeah. Dr. Seuss thing.
He sits on the fish that has legs that's evolving out of the pond.
Yeah. There is a fart noise that happens there, too, which is kind of funny. When he makes contact, there's like a burp.
Hey, this is the, and this is the, hey, this, that bug looks like dad. Let's kill it.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
That's Yardley Smith's voice delivery there was always weird to me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Then he goes back and he sneezes on the dinosaur. All the dinosaurs die. And then when he goes to the present,
is going
to
cost me.
Yeah. It's going to cost me is a fantastic
one. But it's the rich house.
Yes.
And it's like, Marge, pass me a donut.
What's a donut?
He freaks out, but then it's raining again, and it's literally raining donuts, which is like, what conditions on earth would cause this? But
I do love the checklist. She's like, we're going to Patty and Selma's funeral. Do I take the Lexus? He's like, rich house.
Sisters-in-law dead.
Luxury sedan. It's so great. It's raining again. Yeah. How could that happen, Eric?
I don't know.
Well, I think while the dinosaurs die.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then it gives rise to like the bakers.
Oh. That's what I think it is, dude. It's the fucking time to make the donuts guy is God. Fred, whatever the fuck, he died and became the Lord.
Hey, better universe, man.
Totally. And they crucified him and then.
Dude, he's got little donut holes in his hands.
So it's
time
like
to take out the nails.
Oh, that poor man.
Man, what? The Romans don't like frosting? What's going on here?
He was walking with the cross. They put a napkin over his face to wipe the sweat off. There was jelly, but in the face of the time to make the donuts.
Oh, sure.
Punches pumpkin spice. Come on.
So I guess this analogy.
Double glazing Thomas.
This analogy works if we think of actual rain being like the tears of Christ on the cross.
A lot of fucking lunatics think that.
Really?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Stupid people think lots of things.
You will deny my coffee three times before the cock crows and say you prefer Starbucks, Peter.
So then he does a thing. We get a little montage of the house changing to all sorts of different things.
Flintstones house joke.
Igloo.
Yeah, igloo.
McDonald's.
Kid. Yeah.
And then it's great when he comes up and it's fucking Willie and he's like, Homer, I know how to get you back. All you have to do. And the axe is again, and it's Maggie. Yeah. And she's like, this is indeed a disturbing universe.
James Earl Jones.
Did they actually get him? Or did they get credits? Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And then this is, I love this episode. I feel like sometimes they cut to Kang and Kodos for shit when they don't really have an out for the scene or something.
Yeah.
So we cut to Kang and Kodos and they're looking down and it's just like, oh, those foolish earthlings don't know a thing about time travel. Yeah. And they just laugh a bunch and take up like multiple seconds laughing.
Yeah, and then turn into Peabody and Sherman. And yes. It's quiet you again,
is,
I think.
Yeah, which is fine, I guess. And I've never been the biggest fan of Kang and Kodos,
really?
To be totally honest. Yeah,
I'm cool with them.
I think the Bob Dole one's great.
It's amazing.
That's a good one, except, boy, you know what is like, because it's present day now and who could care? The fact that that ends with the Jerry Springer show.
Oh, yeah.
It's just it's one toke over the line.
That's a different one.
Where Maggie's the Kang and Kodos baby.
Yes, but no, but there's the Bob Dole
one. That is
one.
Different. That's the one where Kang and Kodos fuck Marge or something.
Yeah.
And this,
yeah,
that,
you're right.
The one where they with the Bob Dole is where like Homer's getting whipped or whatever to build a space ray to shoot whatever.
Yeah, don't blame me. I voted for Kodos. Yeah. That's a good one because they're central to the whole episode. Yeah.
I do love in that one. I feel like if there's some like crazy, he takes over Bill Clinton and he's like, I will rule this planet with an iron fist. And Marge is watching it. She just goes, oh, that's Slick Willie for you. an amazing line and delivery.
Then when she's trying to be seduced by either Kang or Kodos, I forget which one, he's like, we will recreate the conditions in which these species breed. And it's like, here's a dirty backseat of a car.
The
alley behind a porno theater.
Hey, baby, I'm going off to college tomorrow. Or whatever the line is, it's really great.
Marge's like initial like outburst of disgust, and then she goes, I'll take the alley.
Boy, you're a killer girl.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or maybe I don't dislike Kang and Kodos that much.
No, but I do agree with you. Sometimes they overuse it, and it's one of those like Simpson tropes where it's like, maybe too much.
Yeah.
At the end of the episode, obviously, he goes back. Everyone's a lizard person, but they're mostly okay. And it's
close enough.
Which is a great end.
So great.
Then we have Nightmare Cafeteria.
This one's brutal. It's fucking brutal.
I was shocked to find out that Nightmare Cafeteria is a playoff of a very short-lived NBC show called Nightmare Cafe with Robert Englund, of all people.
Wow. What are we even talking? Is this on the YouTube?
I downloaded a torrent of this years ago because I was like, what the fuck is this show? Oh, shit, there's a torrent.
Is it worth waiting the 14 weeks to have it download?
No, it's not. And it's basically, it's like, it's a haunted hotel, but it's a cafe and somebody comes in and like Robert Englund is running it and there's these two people. It's bad and I can't believe it made it to a Simpsons episode. That's all I'm gonna say.
I thought, you know, I thought it was a parody of Cabin is Blood Diner.
That would make more sense.
Oh no, I mean like the title is the plot could be.
I see.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry.
Diner is exactly the kind of movie that Matt Groening would probably love.
Yeah, no, he's pleasured himself.
This is
Blood
like
Diner.
Really disturbing. Like,
that's weird. I'm gonna have to look this up.
No, I mean this show.
Oh, this segment. Yeah.
It's really actually pretty disturbing. It's the kids, you know, we're at school.
Starts with Bart. He's trying to do a prank, and it's like, you know, oh, let's turn all our desks around before Mrs. Krabappel comes in. He's the only one that does it. She sends him to detention. Detention, like, overcrowding, which is crazy.
Well, much like the police, it's like, you know, the problem isn't actually all the people doing infractions. The problem is actually enforcing these bullshit rules and forcing them to go to detention. That's your problem.
Right. So Skinner says, because of detention overcrowding, we're putting kids in the lunchroom. We have lunch lady Doris doing the grade F meat, which is fucking great.
She spills it on Jimbo, and Skinner tastes it. He gets an idea. There's a great Jimbo bit where he goes in and he's like, it's all behind. You see just the door close. You don't see Jimbo. And it's like,
I can't see. Oh, man. What? It's hard to work with all this meat tenderizer all over me.
Oh, now I got to work in the dark. You hear the clank of the lid go down on him.
He also has a great line when she spills the shit out of him. He goes, oh, no, my favorite shirt.
And, I mean, like, again, he kills him. Mm-hmm. Like, it's pretty obvious. He kills him.
Yeah.
And the next day we're having sloppy Jimbos. Sloppy
Are you Jimbos. Saying you killed Jimbo, processed his carcass, and served him for lunch?
Tap, tap.
Yeah, the nose tap. And then she, which is another brutal,
Yeah.
What's also great is, like, all these kids are then, like, they're turned into what you associate with them. Like, oh, Jimbo, sloppy Jimbo.
Yeah.
Uder becomes Uderbraten.
Oh, dude, the Uderbraten.
I love the Uderbraten because the Oktoberfest sign they hang up has umlauts over, like, the T's and the K's and shit.
Das ist gut, ja.
Yeah, Uder goes to detention because he tries to get more sloppy Jimbos. Yes.
Another sloppy Jimbo. I love the Uder voice. That actress just died. What's her name?
Oh, yeah. She did the DuckTales kids and Martin Prince also.
She's fantastic. Pull her up.
But this is, again, like they're doing the Uderbraten, and then he's saying to the kids, he's like, you might even say we ate Uder and he's in our stomachs right now.
I'd second that scratch that last part.
Russi Taylor.
Yes, Russi Taylor passed away, RIP.
And so then they, and also something, there's no Homer in the segment at all.
No, and I think the Tribune sort of covers, because the Tribune trivia for this is just them mentioning things that are talked about on the commentaries.
Sure,
these. And it was something about there was a deleted scene where Homer does something at the beginning, but they cut it out.
Yeah.
And that was the only time he did appear in it.
But there is a through line through all these where now Groundskeeper Willie tries to save the kids and he gets an axe in the back by Skinner. So he gets an axe in the back by three different characters in each.
And he does the, I'm really bad at this.
I do love the Marge part where they come down there. They tell her the whole thing and she's like, you're 8 and 10 years old now. I can't be fighting all of your battles for
you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they go back to the school. They're in detention, and it's just them, Milhouse, and Wendell.
Yeah. Fat Krabappel.
Oh, God, my it's favorite so great. Thing.
Fat Krabappel reading The Joy of Cooking Milhouse. Milhouse, great Milhouse line. Is like, it could be any one of us.
She also has a thing where she's like, she's saying something like, oh, because of, so many kids have been put on permanent detention, we've decided to consolidate you down to one class. Somewhere in that line when she's talking, they do a fucking great, like, she, like, starts having, like, acid reflux and, like, burps a little bit. Oh, it's great.
Excellent burp work.
They run away.
Let's check on the free-range children.
Oh, yes.
I fucking love it. They're just running around in a circle.
And again, it's about eating children.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's awesome.
Children that which you're very familiar with, that you love and blah, 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 and all that stuff.
I love to eat them.
Wendell's pencil falls on the ground. She's like, detention.
Yeah.
And he goes off. And then, that's when Willie gets stabbed in the back. But then, so it's just Bart and Lisa and Milhouse. And they're on this weird, like, fucking X-Men platform.
Yeah, it's like a walk a plank into a Sarlacc that's just a
food processor.
Yeah, exactly.
A great, I feel like in more.
I thought you were blind!
In more recent Simpsons episodes that I've watched, because I've said this before, but I'll dip in, like, once a year just to check on, you know, still terrible? Got it. Okay. One thing that I feel they've lost is the great fucking sign gags. And on this is great, the big food processor thing. It says Hamilton Beach Student Chopper. It's just, it was so good.
There's a good one in the first, in the Shining, breaking case of spousal insanity.
Oh, right, the axe, which is just fantastic.
So Milhouse falls in, and it's like you hear it,
Yes.
You see, it's like the camera's positioned under the blades.
Well, Bart is reassuring everyone. He's like, well, nothing ever happens to us. And then Milhouse goes, and
right.
He's like, surely something will save the Simpson children.
Right, and then they
Bart,
fall.
Bart, I think I'll start by eating your shorts.
Yeah, that's
gotta eat his ding dong, dude. That's what he's saying. I'm just saying.
Pretty much. That's Skinner talking.
That's spotted dick.
Tender.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Kid testicle, you think?
Oh,
absolutely. I'm just saying.
It's like the eye when you get a head of beef or something like that.
Rocky Bart oysters.
The pig's head.
So then it's like a Bart's having a nightmare thing.
Yes.
And he wakes up and they're like, it's just such an absurd way to end the segment. It's like, oh, you know, you were just having a bad dream. There's, you know, nothing to worry about except that fog that turns people inside out.
But it does.
It's seeping in.
Stupid weather stripping. But the thing is, it's not. Like, it's a fake out. It's like, oh, yeah, they're not going to eat them. But you watch these characters, again, get turned inside out pretty brutally.
Yeah.
In pain.
Blood is just flying off their bodies when they then start dancing to this song. And one of the greatest details here is Santa's little helper starting to eat Bart.
Yeah, totally. Another thing, so I mean, that's it. That's the three segments. Yeah. But another thing that's interesting to note is that because they wanted to focus more on, like, giving the segments time, there's no wraparound thing.
Yes.
Like, remember how they were, like, you know, someone's telling a ghost story, yeah, and they keep cutting back to those.
We're doing Night Gallery.
Yeah, I always loved the Night Gallery one. Night Gallery is an underrated show.
I will say, now that we're talking about Trials of Horror, I did forget all, I think it's season 4 that has the, we're telling ghost stories at the Halloween party, which has the King Kong parody, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Evil Krusty Doll, which is also fantastic. And mm-hmm. I think the zombie one. That might be an all-time
Omega Man one?
No, the earlier zombie one with the is this the end of zombie Shakespeare?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
man, and Homer just has a shotgun for some reason.
Right, that's the one where he kills Ned Flanders.
Oh, right. Oh, that's
he
right.
Wasn't
right,
a zombie.
Right, right. Yeah.
And Barney's eating the arm. And it's like, Barney, you're a zombie. He's like, no.
Yeah, I think this is like one of my all-time faves. I clearly hear nobody was embarrassed watching
you
this.
Came out embarrassed.
You're jubilant watching this.
Yeah, it makes me want to watch more of this season. This is season 6, right?
Five.
Yeah. No, it's 6.
Wait, no, it's 6.
Is it 6? Yeah. Oh, but it was only... Oh, right, because season 1 didn't have one. Right.
Every Halloween, I try to watch all... up the good Treehouse of Horrors. Up until
hang out and
point.
Watch some good ones.
Like, yeah. I can get it up to like 12, 13.
Ooh.
And then I fall off.
Wow, that's pretty deep, dude. Interesting. I feel like you, out of the four of us,
I'm an outlander.
You give this show more of a pass on some of those later seasons than the rest of us.
Well,
do.
Towards like 12,
I go
and
up to ten. Like
I'm
10,
a
10
guy.
10,
yeah.
10,
10's got, tops.
10's got some thuds, but 10 still has some quality.
That's the thing is the 10 is one where like it's still more good than bad.
Yeah,
I'll go into the just down the middle, and I think that's about 12.
Interesting.
I'm sure, like, I watched this up to, again, like, maybe 15-ish, probably, and then I really checked out.
So, wow, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. I gave up on the entire show much earlier.
Yeah.
But that is the October Spooktacular Animation Damnation. Thank you so much for continuing to support this weird, wild, wacky Patreon endeavor. Until next month, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.